Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Thank you for being with us this Wednesday afternoon. We're watching as Milton, the hurricane, is rushing towards the west coast of Florida. And it's pretty intense to watch this take place. If you have friends or family members in Florida, I pray that they are safe. How much hurricane footage? Do you remember tuning in? Did you watch Katrina? That was a huge, huge news event, obviously, for good reason. Does this stuff suck you in?
Well, the fact that it happens often enough, you know, hurricanes are not an uncommon occurrence. It's probably on average that you're going to get one pretty major one per year. So in that sense, no, I don't watch the details of every one. This year's different because we just had Helene. It's obviously been an absolute disaster over such a huge area of the country. And now this. So
doesn't the story usually grow, though, from a news angle because of how it's reacted to?
Yes.
I mean, if
yes.
Because you can kind of think about how Florida has not been the story in the Helene thing because DeSantis snapped to and was ready. They're also more accustomed to these things, so that makes more sense. Being in Appalachia, North Carolina, they're less used to what they're experiencing right now. But if the response is really good, people move on from it
right.
a little bit quicker, and that just has not happened.
Right. Yeah, and the difference, you know, a state like Georgia, if you're in Savannah, they probably have a lot better protocol than if you're in Atlanta because they're right on the coast, just like Florida versus North Carolina and South Carolina. My hope is that we, because this does happen, the coverage gets really big, something big's going to happen, and then a lot of times it does affect one area pretty hard. I think I can't remember the names of the hurricanes, but there was one within the last couple of years where DeSantis had to build back full bridges.
Yes, and he did.
That had been destroyed, and they did quickly.
They like called in the military that does this, not the ones who built that one floating bridge or dock or whatever it was in Israel or outside of Israel, that thing like drifted away from the shore and fell apart.
Oh yeah, that was not that
Gaza.
Long ago.
No, that was just in the last year. But he was able to restore that bridge, which was so necessary in order to restore the islands area that was on the other side of it. And it's just like, wow, look what we can do.
Yeah, and those are big stories. I mean, they end up being kind of feel-good stories, but they're big stories because if you have a whole city that's on an island, especially outside of Florida, that's not attached to anything, they have no supplies, it's really difficult to bring them anything that they need, and they're totally devastated. You know, that's a big story, but it's a small area, and he still has gone out of his way to pull out all the stops, be fully ready to get these people back connected, and they become non-stories because of that.
October 6, 2022, Fox News reports Florida completed repairs on the Pine Island Bridge on Thursday, just 3 days after construction efforts began in the wake of Hurricane Ian.
Hurricane Ian.
Pine Island was one of two major barrier islands to be cut off from the mainland Florida after Hurricane Ian destroyed causeways and bridges in the area. Governor Ron DeSantis unveiled drone footage showing trucks crossing over the repaired bridge on Thursday. He said, construction on the Pine Island Bridge has been completed today, just 3 days after construction began. Happy to have the state step in and get our Pine Island residents back on their feet. It's really amazing.
This hurricane's worse than that, though. And so the hope is that within 2 days, we're talking about stories like this. Hey, you know, yes, there was an area that really got hit hard, but here's how they're coming back pretty quickly versus western North Carolina, eastern Tennessee right now. I mean, Harris Faulkner said it. It's been 11 days. Some of these people have not even heard from any disaster relief from FEMA or anybody.
And so many people still missing.
Yeah.
It's so tragic. Your thoughts on, I asked the question before we went to the break. We also have the YouTube live chat poll. Would Kamala Harris's administration be any different than a Joe Biden administration? I asked, who is your favorite celebrity, public figure, person that has come out and endorsed Donald Trump? And who is the most disappointing person? Now, all three of us in here support Trump. So I guess it would just be the flipped reverse if you were a Harris supporter. Who's so exciting that came out and endorsed Trump, and who was really disappointing to come out and support Kamala Harris? I'm going to say that as of right now, I think Zachary Levi is is the most exciting to me, but it's kind of a niche thing for me. I know that he's not the most high profile person who's done it. Elon, it's hard to talk past Elon Musk. But I'm going to say, hear me out here. The most disappointing person to come out and support Kamala Harris, honestly, is Taylor Swift, because I don't think she had to do it at all. She could have stayed far away from it and people would have inferred. She could have told people to go vote. I don't know why she would even need to do that. But she really has seen kind of a deflation in people's interest of her since that happened. Her tour's been on pause, so I think that's a factor in it as well. But man, we spent like a year of Taylor Swift everything everywhere. And it kind of, like, I think people were getting a little tired, as you would get tired of anybody who's been on the scene for that long. I like Taylor Swift's music. I let my kids listen to Taylor Swift up to a certain time, and then she starts singing about things that aren't about the period of time that my kids are in right now. And I'm like, you can't listen to this music, but you can listen to that. I don't hate her. I don't like her anymore or like her any less because she came out and supported Kamala Harris. But I was just like, really? I'm always really excited for people who are like, I'm going to stay in my lane.
Yeah, she's like, there are certain companies that you're like, that you respect for not doing politics. Taylor Swift seems like she's such an enormous entertainer.
She just became the most richest woman in the world.
That doesn't surprise me. I'm actually surprised that she wasn't already. But she is that caliber of such a major, major influence in the country and the world that you'd say, why do you really need to do that? You don't.
Yeah.
In fact, it would be better off for everybody. And probably you could make the case it would actually be better off for the nation for you to not weigh in on this.
Yeah, just be the place where people can go listen to your album and think about whatever it is that you're talking about on the album.
And I'm not saying that about every celebrity. Some of them, you know Bruce Springsteen's going to come out every year and support whoever the Democrat. It's just baked in. It's fine. It's what they do. But I don't know. Something about when she did it, I was like, Why wait in?
Well, it was not just that she did it. It was also like when she did it. And
it was part of a rollout.
Debate.
Yes, it was clearly coordinated.
I thought it was stupid, though. And I said this that day. I'm like, you kind of had two big things. Like, Kamala Harris didn't totally bomb at that debate like some people thought she could. So set the expectations low, exceed low expectations. That doesn't mean that you're achieving, that you're a high achiever, but it does mean that you beat the expectations. And Taylor Swift endorsed her. It's like, okay, it's easy to move on in 48 hours to new stories. Like, I would have milked that for a little bit more if I had the opportunity to do that. What, and is there anybody else that you are disappointed that you can think of or that you're excited about?
Yeah, here's a really weird disappointed way. I don't think it's having a major impact on the race or anything, but it's somebody who I've enjoyed.
It's just personal. It's a personal reflection.
Yeah, Jessica Alba. And she has been campaigning with Kamala Harris. She's always been one of those people who I thought would kind of stay out of politics. And maybe I've just been naive and I don't follow her close enough to know. But she, I don't know. Every time I see her out there campaigning with Kamala Harris, I'm like, really? Why? Don't do this to me, Jessica. Don't do this to me.
What about you?
For me, it was Sean Astin. When he did that on that video, I was like, oh, come on, dude. Like, not only did he do it, but he's like, you know, he was talking about his Christian faith. And it's like, I don't think that those two things jive specifically with Kamala Harris. I don't think that those jive with how much she is pro-abortion. But then the way that he did it, too, he's like, you talk about your feelings. And it was such a wild concept to me. And it's like, I don't want to listen to you talk about your feelings either. And I liked him as Sam in The Lord of the Rings. And he was like this quiet, supportive strength guy, the real hero of the whole franchise. And then, like, he comes out and it's like, oh, now I'm gonna have to see this guy that I saw on this Dudes for Kamala call whenever I watch Lord of the Rings. And I just wish that he hadn't done it.
Supporters? Elon Musk.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's huge.
No, it's just enormous, the amount of influence that this guy has and the ability to pull stuff off. I like that he's supporting Trump, not just because, oh, you know, he's throwing his hat in the ring and he's got my guy. But if Donald Trump wins, some of the things that you can accomplish, even like right now, the Harris administration should be working with people like Elon Musk, who I think would be willing to help hurricane victims get internet access and just so many things that he could provide, mm-hmm. like he did with Ukraine, with Starlink and all that. That kind of stuff is important for an administration to be working with business to get done, because the government shouldn't be, have its hands in all of that stuff. They should know who does and be able to work with them.
Mm-hmm. Did he come out and endorse Kamala? I mean, he's always been a big push the vote person. Does that matter? Would it matter if he endorsed Trump?
It would definitely matter if he endorsed Trump. It would definitely matter. 50 Cent came out and endorsed Trump.
He did not.
Or he had his he's face done on everything. An album
no,
or something?
No, he's done everything but endorsed Trump.
Okay.
He hasn't come out and been like, vote for Donald Trump because I am. But he's done all the other things.
He's also been very critical of P. Diddy.
There's nobody more critical of Diddy than 50 Cent.
Yeah.
Understand the world, the like the area you're crawling into when you follow 50 Cent on Twitter, but oh, it's a joy. And it's a delight. He knows things and he yeah. says them. Honestly, he kind of calls out Diddy in the same way he has. Let me separate my sentences here so people don't hear me in the wrong way. He calls out Diddy without saying directly what he's saying, but you can tell exactly what he's saying yeah. in the way he puts it out there.
Right. It's like he's avoiding libel.
He supports Donald Trump without saying exactly what he's saying. They're separate things.
Yeah.
But he's very outspoken, but not always super direct.
I'll tell you who else has been really interesting to watch, and not just because of politics, really actually less because of politics, is Russell Brand. He's just been an interesting guy to watch publicly have a conversion to Christ and be very open about it.
I'm way more interested personally in his Christian experience. Mm-hmm. I don't really care what he says about politics. I think he's a very interesting, compelling person, and it kind of goes both ways. But I think we're saying this about all of these people. None of us are like, well, 50 cents for Trump, so I guess I'll vote for him. I'm an undecided voter.
Right. I'm a big Kodak Black fan, and therefore, he endorsed Donald Trump. I guess that's who I'm voting for.
What percentage of our audience knows who Kodak Black is?
I actually don't know who
he is. I don't either. Isn't he
I know
a rapper?
The name. Yeah.
Okay.
And he endorsed Donald Trump. That's what I know about him.
Let's talk about the YouTube poll for a brief minute when we come back. Would a Kamala Harris administration be any different than a Joe Biden administration? Yes or no? We need to know what you think on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. Go leave a vote. Leave a comment if you so choose. We'll read some of those out as well. And a very, very special congratulations. Craig, one of our frequent visitors, listeners, commenters on the Annie Fry YouTube channel, said, hey, Annie, can I get a shout out to my parents, Bob and Ann, celebrating their 70th anniversary today? That is not a typo. Bob and Ann, what a model for so many people, including Craig, to see that type of relationship. 7 decades. That is incredible. Congratulations to you folks. We'll be right back. Borders are, borders are. I can't not
it's
hear
what
that.
You are.
And doesn't he say, she's so stupid?
Something like that. It sounds so real. That's what's amazing about it.
I think
it.
The background is him actually talking.
It might be.
But the borders are. Borders are. Yeah.
Man, this guy got a hit, man.
Do you remember, Ethan's in here. I don't know if... I don't even know if you were alive when this took place. You probably weren't. Do you remember when the Cardinals did well and
that was way before him.
That. I do remember that.
Oh, I hate that that's true.
82, baby.
What's the best season you remember participating in and cheering on?
11, and it's not even close.
I mean, like, it never will be. I can't even imagine how it measures up.
People in St. Louis are so spoiled
yeah.
with 2011 and the magical run that team went on just to make the playoffs.
By the way,
would have been amazing.
Wasn't that an 83-win season just like this year?
No, that was 06.
In
11, they won like 90 games in 11. But
we did win the World Series with a team that won this many games.
Not only did they go on a crazy run to come back from like 8 games back in September.
Milwaukee?
Then And then we beat the best team in baseball, the Phillies, in an epic five-game series. Mm. We got to the World Series, and then you know, Game 6, David Freese, Albert Pujols' history with three home runs. I mean, there is so much lined up in that series, and the Cardinals even making it to the postseason for any of that to happen. I mean, it will never happen again in baseball history.
If you say Game 6 in St. Louis, everybody knows.
Mm-hmm. Everyone knows.
Oh, everybody
knows. It's the most famous World Series baseball game of all time.
Yeah, if you say Game 6 to a baseball fan outside of it, they're going to have a clue of what you're talking about.
They're going to have an idea.
Do you know the story about the, was it Chris Carpenter Halliday? Was it Carpenter Halliday?
Mm-hmm.
Game 5
mm-hmm.
in Philly?
Yes.
Yes.
So we were the away team because
mm-hmm.
we were the lesser record. That night was 97-1's big event with Glenn Beck and Sarah Palin.
Really?
And I was in a suite at the Family Arena. Glenn Beck was on the stage. I think Sarah Palin kind of like opened for Glenn Beck. They were whatever. I was in a suite. Mark Bulger was in this suite with me because he's friends with Glover and it was the 97-1 suite. I'm going to tell a story about that here in a second. But When it happened, I don't know, somebody hit a home run or something. I didn't see that game. I didn't get to watch that game.
Furcal tripled in the first inning.
Furcal tripled and then Schumacher doubled, and that was the only run scored.
It might have been at the end of the game when, was there a strikeout or something to end the game?
Struck out John Kruk.
No, Tim Howard tore. Tim Howard tore
Ryan
his,
Howard.
Ryan Howard tore his Achilles.
In the last out, he grounded out and turned his ankle. Towards Achilles. One of the best players in baseball.
Yeah, St. Louisan.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Glenn Beck is on the stage, and he's getting to his Glenn Beck portion of the evening where he starts talking about the end of the world.
Uh-huh.
Like, and everyone starts
World
screaming.
World War III, and it's very silent, and then everyone's like, and he's on the stage, and he freezes, and he's like,
what happened?
What just happened? And someone's like, the Cardinals won! And he's like, the Cardinals won! And everybody was like, hooray! And then we're like, so World War III. This is so funny. The Mark Bulger story. Mom, I'm going to tell this story. I hope you're okay with this. We're in this 97-1 suite where staff, and then if you were a guest, like my mom was a guest of mine, in this suite, and I had to run around. I was digital at the time for the station. I was running around taking pictures, doing video, getting all that type of stuff. And it had come time for me to come back up and because the event was going to start. And I come up into the suite, and my mom and her friend had been in the suite for a while, and they're chatting with the people in the suite, and I walk in, and I didn't know Mark Bulger was going to be in there, and my mom's like, I come up to my mom, and I'm like, oh, hey, I'm here, whatever. She's like, oh, hi. She goes, I've been talking. This is Dave Glover's friend. I'm like, I'm like, Mom, that's Mark Bulger. He's the quarterback for the St. Louis Rams, and she was like,
that's so funny.
It was really sweet. And I honestly think Mark Bulger really appreciated having a normal conversation with somebody who wasn't just like
starstruck,
gawking over the whole thing. And he's very handsome and everything. And I just like, hi. I was doing the thing that my mom was doing. And then afterwards she was like, I can't believe I did that. I'm like, I think it's totally okay. Mark Bulger is not like a personality, if you remember, when he was quarterback in St. Louis, he was a pretty quiet dude.
Yeah.
He wasn't like a finger guns guy when he walks into the room. But every time I think of that event, I don't really remember much about the actual event. I remember I was not watching watching the Cardinals game on my phone. To the side.
Oh, that had to be tough to do at the time.
That's what everybody else was doing.
No, I mean with the technology.
In 2011.
I figured out how to make it happen. Or it might have been watching Twitter or something.
Man, I used to watch that pitch thing that was just like the cartoon throwing the ball.
At a time.
I think it's like Game Changer, but for pro stuff.
Yeah.
What is that called? Gameplay, maybe?
Game Changer.
No, like the, I don't know.
For the MLB at bat or something like that.
Oh, yeah, that's what it's called.
This is really weird, but when you said, I got a Mark Bulger story, I hope my mom's okay with this.
Don't be weird.
I also have a Mark Bulger story, and I hope my mom's okay with this.
Go on.
So it was right at the peak of Mark Bulger and the Rams. You know, he's St. Louis royalty at this moment. just probably around the same time as you're talking. And my dad wanted a Mark Bulger jersey for Christmas. It's tough to buy for your dad. You know, yeah. Dad's got everything. So when he says, here's what I want, that's usually what he's going to get. So my mom said, well, which one do you want, the blue one or the white one? He said, I think I'll do the white one. So she walked around stores, and he was real popular. It was hard to find his jersey yeah. at this time for Christmas. She walked around stores unknowingly asking clerks over and over, I need a large white Bulger.
Oh, no.
And she's like, people keep laughing at me when I ask this. Is it because they're hard to find right now? I don't know.
Yes, they are.
And she would go to the next store. I need a large white Bulger.
Very hard
Your
to
mom
find.
Is not going to be okay with you telling this story.
This is Wiggins lore at this point. No. I mean, if we say large white Bulger, everybody knows the story.
Does that come up a lot?
It happens,
so
yeah.
to speak.
It happens. Anytime the NFL, I think somebody's going to drop large white Bulger.
Very hard to find.
You know what, though? Oh. I did not get clearance to tell that on the radio.
No, so. You better not.
Why don't you dump that, Brad?
Nobody it's can hear seconds. Us. Nobody can hear us right now, people. Nobody's listening.
That
really boring to segue into the YouTube poll right now.
Well, real quick, the 2011 season. I'm glad you brought up the Phillies series because everybody remembers Game 6. And everybody remembers Lance Berkman's hit.
Mm-hmm. No, but people don't remember Lance
you
Berkman's hit.
You think they
hit.
Don't?
No.
Because I
not
feel
to the
like
level they, of not, David Freese.
And not to the level that it was so pivotal to what needed to happen. Lance Berkman is a hero because that at-bat that he had, to turn it into, was it a double?
It was a single.
It was a single. But it kept the inning going. Game going.
Lance Berkman's hitting advice on the internet is so fun to listen to.
Also a strong believer.
Yes.
If David Freese does not now this is obviously, you know, it's really easy to say, if David Freese doesn't have the two biggest hits in Cardinals history, like
yeah.
But Lance Berkman batted over 400 in the World Series.
Yeah.
I mean, he was huge for that.
Here's the thing about him though, I feel like when everybody goes, oh, who's the first man on the moon? They go, oh, Neil Armstrong, but nobody remembers the set. Yes, it was. It was Buzz Aldrin. I feel that way about Lance Berkman
Definitely.
In that game.
Completely.
That everybody's like, oh, yeah, David Freese. But they do remember the second man on the moon, too.
David Freese is not getting more credit than he deserves.
No.
It would be good for him to accept more credit than he is willing
yes.
to accept.
Very true.
He should be in a red coat. I understand why he said that he didn't want to. It's almost like he has this like imposter syndrome thing about it, but David Freese is going to be legendary in our lifetime, in some cases, as much as any other Cardinal ever will be. And Pujols came, what did he hit, 3 home runs in that one series?
In game 3 against the Rangers,
yes.
he hit 3 home runs, which tied a World Series record. Only 2 players had done that at that time, so that was a pretty big moment
yes.
as well.
And I mean, when it comes to winning championships, that's supposed to be the point. But mm-hmm. that's supposed to be what we're doing here. And that championship is not won without David Freese. And it's like I hope that someday that changes. I hope that we get a little further away from it and they ask him again and he comes back because
that would be cool.
He deserves
I do too.
It.
Such a huge part of Cardinals history. That would be cool if eventually, you know, you let it breathe a little bit maybe and he's a little bit more willing.
I mean, people who he played on that team with were still playing when that was extended to him. So I feel like once you get a little bit further away from it, that mm-hmm. it is probably, we're like, no, we really mean it. Like, we really love you. Come back. Yeah, come back. And
yeah, he's done.
Be in a red coat. We want to see
you. He's been humble now.
Yeah.
We get it.
He's been more humble than he needs to be.
Yeah, absolutely. Wasn't 2006 weird, though? I mean, that we won the World Series, but it just felt like, how did that happen?
People call it the worst World Championship team in baseball history.
Really?
Yes.
83 wins.
83 wins. The way in which they won the World Series, I mean, it was the Tigers. The Tigers were the favorite by far. It wasn't even close. And, I mean, if you look at Kenny Rogers, yes.
They couldn't throw to first base.
If you look at it game by game, the amount of huge impact moments that the Tigers had were, you know, they commit a huge error here or there. I mean, it almost felt like a series in which the Cardinals didn't necessarily win, but the Tigers lost. Yes. Now, the Cardinals took advantage of opportunities.
The Mets series beforehand was amazing.
That yes. one was very
well That's the
well
Wainwright
earned.
Molina embrace.
Yes.
Dan just commented this, and I was going to say the same thing, but my husband and I often, I think I've talked about this on the air before, but we will every once in a while be like, name the 2004 batting lineup. And we'll go through and Tony.
That was a great team.
Tony Womack is the hard one. When you're going through and you're trying to figure out who is where, you're going to forget Tony Womack. But
met him this year.
Yeah, nice guy.
Yeah,
I hope so. That'd be sucky.
Ethan's like, nope.
That's where we came.
Major jerk.
Yeah. Andy Price show. Trasses. Who checks notes? Tony Womack.
Tony Womack. Whoa, man.
No, I'm sure he's a great guy. But that's kind of interesting because that was the Murderer's Row. MV3. Lineup for the MV3. What an amazing lineup, destined to be the champions. You knew the whole time that even if you were facing the best pitchers that baseball, some of the best pitchers that baseball has ever seen, that once we got into their bullpen, our hitters are better than your hitters, and we're going to win this game. And then we crumble like a cracker into Boston.
Yes.
Who had, you know, they broke the curse on us. That's kind of the converse of 2006, where. I mean, Detroit, have they won a World Series?
No, their last World Series that they won was against the Cardinals in 1968.
So long, long time ago. So it's just like, to me, it seemed like the 2004 total letdown. It was just like a tragic loss to the World Series. We didn't even compete. 06
kind of made up for it.
06 was like, fine, we'll take it.
Yeah,
Best I can do is an 06 World Series championship with 83 wins. We'll do it.
The crazy thing is that, you know, your original question, what was the best team in my lifetime that I remember cheering for? And yes, it definitely was 2011, but the fact that the Cardinals did not win another one from 12 to 16, those teams were
good.
Unbelievably good. They went to two NLCSs, they went to a World Series, and the year that they didn't make it to the pennant, they won 100 games. They were the best team in baseball in the regular season.
Yeah.
The fact that they did not end up in winning another World Series, I mean, is mind-boggling. They win in 2012 if they get to the World Series. If they lost in seven games in the NLCS, the Giants swept the Tigers. I mean, they should have won at least one more. So 2011 definitely, like, it covers up a lot of the, what could have been?
Yeah.
I mean, that could have been one of the best, like, six-year runs in recent baseball history.
I told my husband recently, my daughter's volleyball team is very good, and we will play. We're playing this weekend in Peoria, and then the first weekend of November is the state volleyball championship. We've applied. We assume we'll get accepted. But we have, I mean, they're middle school girls, so they could at any given time decide not to play well. But we play very good volleyball. So we have the opportunity to compete at a high level, hopefully at the state. Our goal is to play in a state championship game. We'll see how it turns out. But I told him, I said, I can't, because that is the first weekend in November. The state championship volleyball team. I said, I don't know that I could personally mentally handle the volleyball team expectations that we hope to have, the election, and a really good Cardinals baseball team playoffs. I'm like, I don't think I'm equipped for that. So maybe.
Thank God the Cardinals aren't good this year.
that is what I have determined personally for me. I remember going through some of those Octobers, and it is so heavy. When it's game day, it's like the whole day. It's like, oh my gosh, I don't know what's going to happen. Like totally pouring myself into it like a psychotic person. I'm liberated from that this year.
Since you made the comparison, and we're almost out of time, but who would you say is the Tony Womack of your girls' volleyball team? Would you say it was Chrissy?
Yeah, it's probably Chrissy.
Okay. I had my money on Chrissy.
Not naming middle school girls on this show.
Who's the most forgettable girl on the team you coach?
I don't know. I can't remember her name.
For the
Anna.
People that missed that part, just making sure that the clarification was there.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll recap the YouTube live chat poll when we come back. We need to know what your vote is. Would a Kamala Harris administration be any different than a Joe Biden administration? We're approaching 300 votes on today's poll, so get yours in before we wrap it up. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
It reminds me of, like, way back when people used to go to the chapel and get married.
Yeah, like when you got married in the 50s?
Yeah. Reminds me of going and getting married in the 50s.
Do you remind you of anything?
Not specifically,
did
no.
Did you ever see Father of the Bride?
With Steve Martin?
Yeah, I think I hated it.
Oh, it's such a good movie. Why would you hate it?
Well, maybe if I watched it now and I would get sentimental about being a parent. At the time, I was a young boy.
So, Steve Martin and I think it's Diane Keaton are in that movie. They're supposed to be in like their late 30s or 40s. I don't know. That might be. They're supposed to be in their like early 40s, maybe. They look, if you look back on them, they look like they're in their 70s.
Yeah.
What were grown people doing in the 90s? To look so old? Or what weren't they doing?
That's a good question. I think probably out there splitting logs.
Let's say eating a ton of preservatives.
Yeah. Yeah, we eat so many preservatives now, is what Brad's saying, that we are preserved better.
I don't have a response for that.
I'm assuming that's what he's saying.
You mean like strawberry preservatives?
No. The stuff that we add to all of our food, it's keeping us young.
Peanut butter and preservatives?
Preserving us.
Yeah. I really don't know what Brad meant, but I thought that I did a pretty good job there of making it make sense.
I love that movie.
There was a lot of movies. Was there one with Macaulay Culkin called The Good Son or something? Where he is...
Yeah, with Elijah Wood.
Yeah, and then there's some other movies in that era that I did not watch. I had no desire to watch. There's one where somebody died. Like, it's gosh dang it, I wish I could remember the name of it. There's a lot of like sentimental movies from that time period that I loathed because I was 10.
Because you had no feelings.
Yeah.
I'm a 10-year-old
boy.
I don't know that The Good Son was a sentimental movie, though.
There's one I'm missing that's about a kid who dies at the end, and you know, anything about dogs and stuff, I was like, I just want to watch Ninja Turtles.
What a ride that was. I want you.
Secret of the Universe.
I want you to get the transcript of what you just said, and then on Friday you can do it as Ryan Shire Wigglesworth, and then maybe it'll make refined sense.
No, thank you.
I just know that it ended with turtles.
We should start with the part where I'm talking about how much sense I've made out of Brad's comments, and then just right on through the rest of that.
Mm-hmm. This is the same show that we interviewed Harris Faulkner in.
This has been a good show. Yeah, you've done a good job.
Portions.
Yeah, portions of the show have been really stellar. I wish to compliment you on them.
We could end on a high note. The YouTube live chat poll, would a Kamala Harris administration be any different than a Joe Biden administration? She said on multiple occasions yesterday on the hard-hitting interviews with Sonny Hostin on The View and Stephen Colbert of whatever the name his show is. Vicky says no. Same, if not worse, maybe. Kamala Harris had no response for it, and she said no on those two interviews. Erica said, I almost said yes, since I think it will be worse. But it's really bad now, so it will be the same, only much worse.
So yes or no.
Did you write that?
That's Kamala Harris.
Well, yeah. In terms of the work that is to be done, what else is stupid stuff does she say?
Unburdened by what has been.
Wolf says, yes, it will be worse. Russell says, I said, yes, it'll be the same. She hasn't said what, if anything, different from Biden she would do. She said yesterday she would not change a thing from the last 3.5 years. Cam says, yes, Kamala would be worse. Partaking says, yes, she is an American communist. So I guess it's a compliment to Joe Biden. Brett said, Kamala Harris welcomes a new third world country. Everyone better take up arms. It's dramatic. Maybe true. Michelle says, I feel safe now that he's turning over to her. She's on top of things. I roll. All right. What do you think, Ryan? Same or different, Kamala Harris to Joe Biden?
I was looking for a creative way to say, yeah, they're going to be different. She's going to be much more left or whatever, but no. I mean, they're just puppet people. Like Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, they don't really stand for anything. They're just going to do whatever their donors, what the far left, what really... like socialist companies are going to buy out of them. That's all they're going to do. So they're the same people.
Bob says, I said no, but I'm rethinking. I'm thinking it would be worse because she would feel more emboldened and really has nothing to lose. And Dale said, it was tough, but I said yes because it will be even worse policy. What do you think, Brad?
I think it's going to be worse. I mean, even to Ryan's point, even if they are puppet people, the people pulling the strings are going to feel emboldened if they win for 4 more years with such a awful candidate. So, yeah, I think she will be worse than Joe Biden.
Josh says, yes, she is way more liberal than Biden. Defund the police, abortion legislation, affirmative action laws, retreat from Israel, reopen border, revoke natural gas leasing, to name a few differences. Do you think that she knows, Ryan, that she would be different, but she doesn't want to say it because what people are complaining about right now, she knows she would be extra that, and she's keeping it to herself? Or is she too dumb to answer the question?
No, that's a good question. No, I don't think she really knows what she stands for. I really do believe that she is a blank. She's like tofu. That you put it in a dish and it just tastes like whatever
tofu
the dish is.
Tofu is saying, how dare you?
Yeah. All right, sorry, tofu. Sorry, soy people.
Not good tofu.
Tofu.
When it talks.
No, I really don't think that she... And I think she's okay with that. That she's just a chameleon. She's going to do whatever it takes in any given moment. And she's shocked that she is where she is. And going, oh my gosh, can't believe it's worked. I'm almost there.
Ethan, what do you think? Would a Kamala Harris administration be any different than a Joe Biden administration?
I voted yes. I think that it will be worse. I think the biggest difference is that Joe Biden, during the days where he, you know, was younger and able to put thoughts together.
In the 50s when people got married
right,
in chapels.
At least they were thoughts that made sense. You don't have to agree with them. Kamala Harris is what she would probably define as in her prime right now. And she can't even put like sentences or thoughts together that make sense. She
it's
can't
a rough
even speak
prime.
To the people. So
yeah,
I think that this will be much worse because Biden's is based off of his age, and that's where the lack of competency comes in.
I think it'll be worse. I would say that it would be different. Yes, I would vote yes that it would be different. I agree with you, Ethan, that the ability of Kamala Harris to use her time in office for not good. That she would potentially be more effective in that. Also, she could have 8 years.
Mm. Oh, that one hit right in the chest.
Yeah, right? I seriously, we had this. I remember where I was when I had this revelation in the KMOX Studio C or whatever it was. Is that what the one we were in?
Mm-hmm.
If Donald Trump wins the election, Kamala Harris will be effectively out of our lives. And we won't have to listen to her. We won't have to play clips of her. I mean, think about how much Hillary Clinton graces this show. It's not really ever. Vote for Trump! You want to give the results, Ethan?
Yeah, let's go for it. Would a Kamala Harris administration be any different than a Joe Biden administration? 59% say no, 41% say yes. 305 votes today on the YouTube live chat poll.
That's really close. I'm surprised by that. Thank you for being with us today. Great day to podcast the show, especially the first half of it. We had Tim Murtaugh on in the 12 o'clock hour. He's a Donald Trump advisor, very close to Donald Trump and the campaign. Joy Murdoch on fraudulent ballots that could be going out and what they're doing to push back on that. And of course, the wonderful Harris Faulkner at 125. Thank you for being with us and voting on the poll. Mark Reardon next. I'm not a married sweetheart.